I tend to dress in a dress shirt with jeans around the house these days, so that way I'm prepared. Now, the key question is whether or not I shave to start the day. If it's a, I've had to shave 3 days this week. That's been
wow.
Unusual.
That's a rough week.
Yeah,
I'm a once every 8 days kind of shave a guy. Grizzly Adams here in the studio has not seen. No, what do you use, a knife over there? A Bowie knife?
A Bowie knife, yeah, maybe.
Tune that baby up and get it going. All kidding aside, well, no, then we wouldn't have much of a show. In all seriousness, Chuck, the governor just came on and said, hey, everybody is wearing a mask starting in the great state of Indiana on July 27th, Monday. Indiana University has already had plans well in advance of that. The city of Bloomington has had plans in advance of that, and the county as well. So this shouldn't come to as a big shock, but the good news is we know we have a bunch of students that maybe leases start on August 1st. School's going to be here before you know it. It's nice that we're all kind of on the same page, so when they get here in a month, there's no big behavioral change.
Yeah, so students are required, and actually I shouldn't just say students, everybody is required to wear a mask inside any IU building. So if you are on the IU campus and you're inside, you have to have a mask on, and that's going to be enforced for classes. The provost put it this way when we first started talking about this, that it simply will be that a class may just be stopped if a student will not adhere to that mask policy. And it's just something that our students should be well used to by the time that they get here, and we think they will. One thing we're doing to help that along is we're actually sending out masks to students, and those, I've seen them, they're pretty sharp looking. They're black, and there's a black one and a gray one. Everybody gets two, and they have the IU Trident logo on them. It's a nice looking mask.
So if you lose yours, it's going to be very hard to identify. So please, like summer camp, write your name in your underwear.
Yeah,
can you do that, please?
I had that very thought earlier. If you lose it, you're going to have to figure out whose it is.
Now, the masks that are provided, this is once a semester, once in general. We're more interested just in face coverings, just like everybody else is. Eric Holcomb was asked that question, do I need a mask? And they were like, do you need a face covering? Just whatever can help. It's not a 95 surgical mask, and it's not this, that. Just cover your face, please. That's all we ask.
Yeah, it's really cloth face covering that is per what the CDC recommends. And so we are telling students that and others that they can use their own if it meets those standards. And also, one thing to point out, we will have some throwaway masks that can be worn temporarily if somebody shows up on campus and they don't have one. So we're going to cover our bases on that end.
Dr. Chuck Carney is our guest this afternoon. He checks in. Three big things at Indiana University. He's the director of media relations. So the governor made it sound like anywhere inside as well, you have to wear a mask. So no one's going to get confused with IU's rule that we've been talking about for weeks and weeks and weeks. Now, when kids live off campus, now we're talking about an entirely different set of circumstances, but we're not, since Monroe County and the city of Bloomington have essentially said you need to wear a mask everywhere you go in public. So unless you're at home, Chuck, it sounds like all of us are going to have our masks on no matter where we're at.
Yeah, and that really, from our standpoint, that's really helpful just to get that idea hammered home for students and for the rest of the people who work on the IU campus, that this is just something that we're going to have to do. If you leave the house, you're in a public area, or if you're in an outdoor area that you cannot cannot socially distance enough, then you're going to need to wear those masks. And, you know, I'll use myself as an example. I don't go out that much, but I do try to take a bike ride at the end of the day. And I have bought a pull-up cloth face covering that I put around my neck during the bike ride. And so when I go to the part of the Beeline Trail where there are more people, I pull that up. And it's really just something that I think we all kind of have to get used to the rules of the road here. And that, to me, is one of the rules. I'm going to be in an outdoor area where I cannot physically distance enough. I've got to pull that thing over my mouth and nose.
Ride faster. Pedal harder.
That's right.
that could help too. By the way, I was very proud of the line that I had at the end of the news conference with the city and the county and IU Health and IU last Friday, that I dispelled the rumor that the penalty for violating face mask was loss of down and 15 yards.
Well, you can, yes, and you can decline that if you have to as well.
Right. You know, Chuck, we talked about students and homes. Any update on student housing coming up as the students are getting ready to flood back into town?
An organized flood back into town now.
Right.
Well, students, when they get into student housing, it's going to look quite a bit different. We did a story this week that really sort of outlined some of those changes, and that's at our news.iu.edu website. And there's going to be signage everywhere, as we've talked about all along. The face covering mandate that for the university is also, of course, going to apply in those residence halls. And so students in an area where there are other students, they're going to have to wear those face coverings and make sure that they adhere to that policy. And there's going to be markings on the floor where in the instance where, for instance, they're picking up their grab and go lunch or dinner or breakfast, they'll have to stand in a certain area so that they are 6 feet apart. And also along with that, you know, there will be some safety ambassadors that are trained to keep an eye out for this. And they'll remind people if things are not socially distanced enough, physically distanced enough, so that they'll get in the right spot. So it's going to be a different situation. Along with that, of course, we're doing extra cleaning all day long, every day. The air filters in all of these residence halls will be changed very frequently. It's a whole new world that they're going to be entering back into.
And Chuck, when they come back to campus, we've also learned that freshmen don't have to live on campus, but do you have enough rooms? We know McNutt's going to open back up and the Biddle Conference Center. You've got enough room to spread everybody out so they're not, it's not like the old days where everybody has to pile into one dorm or one floor.
Yeah, we're going to be able to have largely single occupancy for all of the residence halls. And since Foster and McNutt are reopening, those were the two that closed last year for a total renovation, that will help us meet that demand. Plus half of Teeter Quad is reopening. It was being renovated as well. So we've got enough rooms for everybody at this point, and that won't be a problem. And we're able to physically distance people in such a way that we think we'll be able to take care of that.
Dr. Chuck Carney is our guest this afternoon. He is the director of media relations for the entire IU school system and obviously IU Bloomington, which is our focus usually here on a Big Three Things at IU on a Wednesday afternoon. And one of the things on your list, Chuck, going back to the 1940s, the recognition of Japanese American students denied education at IU during World War II. None of us are perfect. We know that. But tell me, what is the recognition going to be here for those students?
Yeah, and this is brand new today. So if you go to the president's website, president.iu.edu, you'll find a letter to the IU community under statements on the president's website. And he notes that IU alum Eric Langowski and associate professor of history Ellen Wu had delivered a petition to the Board of Trustees earlier this year, which was to ask the university to acknowledge and issue an apology for its ban on admitting Japanese American students between 1942 and 1945. So the president has responded, and he's taken these actions. He's directing the IU archives to research the details of 12 Japanese American students who were denied admission to IU to determine whether we can identify their descendants or relatives who we can personally convey the regrets. He's commissioned a plaque containing IU's statement of regret that will be placed at a suitable campus location to be determined. And he's asked Provost Robel to appoint a small committee of IU faculty to plan an event that will describe the treatment of these Japanese Americans during World War II. During that, we'll specifically address IU's failure to admit those dozen students who sought to continue their education here and were denied. This, of course, is a grappling with history, and it was something that you've heard more about thanks to Eric Langowski and Professor Wu as they brought this to the attention during our bicentennial year. And one of the things that we're all reckoning with is that history is not perfect, as you say. There are things that we did in the past that we need to grapple with now and recognize that they may not have been right. That is why we're looking at possibly renaming things that were named for David Starr Jordan, among other things. So this is part of that effort, and this will be an ongoing effort.
And one quick final thing. Indiana University's plan to test students for COVID once they come to Bloomington. Where are we in that, and what's going on there? We talked about the OptumSurf site in town not being able to stay open. It's too hot. It's going to close at the end of August. Where are all these kids going to get tested? Where are these tests coming to come from? Who's going to process all these test results, Chuck?
Well, let's back up a little bit. So there was an email that went out to students on Friday before last Friday, so a week and a half ago, and that said that all IU Bloomington students were going to be required to get a test within the 10 days of their return to campus. That is move into campus. Last Friday, we sent out a clarifying email in which we changed that to being all students who live in on-campus housing or in Greek houses. Now, along with that, in that email, we did state that we do expect to take the additional step of testing students upon arrival on campus. Where all of that stands right now, we don't think that'll be something that will tax those sites that you just talked about, because we're setting up a mechanism to do that ourselves. Exactly how that will look, exactly how that will take place, can't tell you right now, but details to come. It is one of the Herculean efforts that is being undertaken by our public health and safety staff as they try to make this happen. But that's where we stand right now, and details to come as that develops.
Yeah, it's a big deal because people want to know, hey, I live in in Olathe, Kansas, and I'm coming to IU. Do I need to get tested before I leave, when I get there? How does that work? Is there enough tests for everybody? So we'll figure that out. And I know you'll keep us in up to date with all that fun stuff.
We will have updates for sure. And again, I know I'm always pushing websites like I get a profit off of these things or something.
You do.
I didn't
salary for
clickbait. Clickbait.
not a good one. But fall2020.iu.edu is where we will update these. And so I really urge people, and particularly community members, if you're just curious as to what the latest is, we are putting those updates there. And I recognize, we all at IU recognize the responsibility we have to the community at large. As I put it to someone earlier today, in this circumstance, this is truly the IU community in large. This could not be more all of us in it together than we are right now, because we all have to act for everybody's safety.
All right, Chuck, great job as always. We appreciate your time. We'll get caught up with you next Wednesday on the final Wednesday of July, and that means August is
right around the corner.
Safe riding. Keep your face cloth covering on, your helmet on, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you very much.
Chuck Carney, the doctor, checking in from Indiana University. He's in charge of the media relations and always helps keep us on the straight and narrow. Everything's evolving. Don't write anything down in pencil.
Are you saying be flexible?
But please do.
Yeah.
Please do. Like the waistbands on our pants. Please be flexible.